You know, things are really taking place. A lot of people perhaps are not aware of it. I know that there are people that's not aware of it because they're not spiritual minded. But there are some people that are spiritual minded. And because they are spiritual minded, then they consider a lot of things. They observe a lot of things, whereas some other people would not notice those things. I heard someone say today, since we was having a meeting over in Olive Branch, these particular brethren was riding along together. One of the brothers had a book here that another brother picked up to look at, and it had to do with facts. And I had spoke of what this had to do with as to the coming of the Lord and the feet touching the Mount of Olives, and that we were going to Olive Branch. The Bible speaks of that as to, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. And at certain times and certain seasons, things have a great significance, as it did in this particular season. I had mentioned it, and it seemed like such an insignificant thing, and yet it was so profound in the sense that the brother opened this book, and immediately it opened to that concerning the Mount of Olives and the feet of Jesus touching the Mount of Olives and it cleaving in half. And the thing is, it had to do with some kind of expedition that related back to the Holiday Inn, right there with the Mount of Olives. And then that seemingly not enough as to a confirmation as to the brother as to what was happening. Right there beside it, it said, and a preacher over in Mississippi was preaching about the coming of the Lord when certain things took place. So it was really astounding as to how many things related right to that immediate situation. Couldn't have happened again in 100 years. Well, that's what I'd like to say something about tonight. If you'll turn to the book of Zechariah, we just want to relate a few things to you, talk to you just a little bit about something here. I could just open up tonight and preach to you because my heart is filled up with the wonderful things of God. Chapter 13, the book of Zechariah, if you'd like to read with us, I'd like to read just a little bit here. A few things. Chapter 13, it says, in that day. I'd like for you to notice that. It says in chapter 13, the book of Zechariah, it says, in that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesy. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. That is, we would say, like sackcloth and ashes. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. When it shall come to pass in that day, that the light shall not be clear nor dark, and it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it. There shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no more rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now, this is saying a whole lot that perhaps some of you understand, perhaps some of you don't understand. And if I say something about it, perhaps you still won't understand it. But if you'll notice, if you recall, the Bible speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. He stood upon the Mount of Olives. The Bible said he ascended up into heaven. And certain men stood round about gazing at the Lord when the angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus, as ye have seen go, shall so come again in like manner." Now, this is why I read this concerning this in the book of Zechariah. Now notice what it said. It says here, 14:4, Zechariah. It says 14:1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." Then it says 14:4, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, speaking of the facts, this has already been proven, in that scientists has proven this. As to the little article that we were speaking of that the brother had read, the Holiday Inn was going to build a place there at the Mount of Olives. And having, from the geologist's side of it, having somebody to go in there and check it out to make sure that everything was safe for the erection, they found out that there is a fault line running through Jerusalem. Whereas the geologists say that puts the people of Jerusalem in a precarious predicament, in that it makes it unsafe for them that is settled around Jerusalem. They found a fault line, and the fault line runs east and west. Believe it or not, it runs east and west, just exactly like Zechariah gives it here. It runs east and west. And it is believed that it sometimes, even by the intellectuals, that this has to give away as to a dividing asunder, which was spoken of many, many years before the coming of the Lord. Zechariah, the Spirit speaking through this prophet, said, "And he shall return," even as it was said of the angel, "he shall return and put his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in half." And it says, when it cleaves, it will be that the fault line will run from the east to the west, and it will split from the east to the west, moving the mountain into two parts as to north and to south, and leaving a great valley that will reach unto Azal. Now, they say that this fault line is there, that it's absolutely a fact that it is running from east to west, which means that something is close at hand. If that is true, if there is a fault line as of this, and this is in facts, in the encyclopedia, so then if that's true, that it is there, then that means that all it will take is what the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation as to an earthquake. And the Bible speaks of the great earthquake. And then when that great earthquake hits, along about the middle of Daniel's last week, it gives it in the book of Revelation, that it actually will divide asunder. And when it divides asunder, no doubt in my mind that the sealed gate, as to the eastern gate, right next to the lion gate that we entered into when we went to prophesy there, that this sealed gate that's been there since about 1500, the Turks having sealed up the gate since that time, the sealed gate has not been broken into. The prophecy was that when Jesus had gone through there, that it was to be sealed up. At a time it was to be sealed up. And from that time on, no one else would ever go into that gate or enter through that gate until the Messiah himself come. And it says here that Messiah will come. As you've seen him go, so shall he come again. Which means he will come and stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now, this is what I'm saying. In that he comes to stand upon the Mount of Olives, he will stand there, and when his feet touches the Mount of Olives, then the Mount of Olives will cleave in half, to signify as to the rent veil, for out of that area underneath has to do with the fountain open in the house of David, because it has to do with Calvary. And herein that they rejected Calvary as to the blood of Christ, the fountain that was given from the breast of Jesus, in that they refused that came from his heart, and lost out, Christ will come again. And when he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, it will cleave in half, and water will come forth from that area and run down into the Dead Sea. And of course, we could say a lot here concerning the faith track that Brother James Isaac had when he was over there. James, you remember when you've been over and that track fell into the water, and I said the revelation shows that healed the waters and life will come forth in the Dead Sea. Do you remember that? And today, as I've told you since our other visits, it's become one of the greatest spas, or the greatest in all the world, as to a life-giving substance. I even brought some of the soap back, Sister Betty did, from over there that was just superb. All right. Now, when he comes back, He will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will cleave in half. Then the water, as to the fountain open in the house of David, will go out down into the Dead Sea and heal the Dead Sea. Because I tell you again, the Dead Sea represents Israel. Dead. Nothing there. Until the coming of the Lord. But some of our visits has had to do with the Lord and the fulfillment. And since the time of our prophecy up the street of Dolorosa, as to the time is fulfilled, things has been happening. Now the great spall is over there. Life is coming to the Dead Sea. Everything is just set for the reviving of Israel, to bring Israel back to life, because Israel has been dead in the sight of God, inactive. But now Israel is beginning to wake up and beginning to come to life. And as Israel begins to come to life, Satan begins to get nervous, because Satan cannot stand it when Israel begins to move, because he knows what the nation of Israel represents. I tell you again, the Antichrist will take in all of the world, except that as to the woman that will flee down across the Jordan to those cities of escape that was put down there as a place of escape, the woman, that is a certain part of Israel, will flee down into that place. All but that woman will come under the regime of Antichrist. And this woman, of course, is referred to as a woman, in that God refers to Israel as a woman in different occasions. Going down into this certain place, as to the cities of refuge, she will be there for as 3.5 years, something like this, as to the purifying, because she has given birth, in that there is a child, according to Revelation 12, that's been caught up. And this is shown also by the 144,000 that goes up to Mount Zion, at to the top of Mount Zion, where the Lord Jesus will stand after that he comes back as a headship to these members that will come together. So, Antichrist stretching out his hand over all of the world. We spoke about Russia not too long ago, of all these armies coming together, and how that this would give the Constitution as to those that would go in around Israel at the command, that all nations at one time could go in there, because all armies would be one union. Everything is shaping up to that. And of course, there's been another earthquake over in Russia. God is showing some things that's coming to pass. See, earthquakes in diverse places in the last days. And right now, everything is moving up to that. Earthquakes and earthquakes. You never heard about earthquakes like that in years past. But see, everywhere earthquakes is there. And they found even under the ocean bed. James, remember bringing me those maps of that under the ocean bed, which has cracked all to pieces. Right down at the bottom of the ocean. And the whole world is faulty and just ready to break apart. Bombing, all the different things has been done. Those explosions down in the ocean, it's really caused a problem. And it's going to be so bad that the earthquake, with the blast and with those things that people are going to do with atomic powers, it's actually going to shake the elements until those things that are not real stars will fall out of the heavens. There's a lot of planet-type things floating around up there, made out of rock and nickel and whatever, iron, and these things are going to be shook out of their orbit, and actually is going to fall. And through the friction of the swiftness of coming down and coming to the different spheres, is going to be turned into brimstone. God has got this thing set up to where that he's going to rain down out of heaven fine brimstone. He's reserved these different things that appears to be stars and whatever, just meters and whatever. They are reserved until the day of judgment, to where they will blow apart and heat up and come down upon the world. So we see that Antichrist, setting up his kingdom, confiscating, getting control of the entire world, that the one thing that will trouble him is tidings out of the east. For he will have control of the whole world through a computerized means, as to a numerical order, bringing it down to the number 666, which science say, according to what I've heard and understood, that that is the only number they've come up with that can be the supremacy as to a number to control the numerical system. So then, Antichrist will feel that he's got control of the whole world. and will be very satisfied with the fact that he's going to rule the entire earth. But the Jews will keep saying, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming. Because the Bible says that there will be tidings out of the east that will trouble him. And of course, you're going to find that what I'm telling you will be those tidings. Be tidings out of the east that will trouble him. And that tiding is going to be, the Jews are going to keep saying, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming. And then he's going to gather all the armies of the world in against Jerusalem. As to say, I've got everything, I own everything, I control everything. And these Jews is nothing but a sore thumb to me. Always they have been to everybody, even to the Germans. You remember the Holocaust. So then, Hitler wasn't able to rule the world because of this tidings that troubled him. And Antichrist is going to gather all the armies of the world together in that he's going to have control of them as one army. Send them in around Jerusalem. Now, this is the thing to remember. He will send them in around Jerusalem. Daniel spoke of this. Daniel said, when you see the armies of the world gathered together around Jerusalem, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And Jesus referred back to him, saying that when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, that is Jerusalem, considered the holy place, the place that it ought not, then shall the end come. The abomination before God is when Antichrist brings those armies in against Jerusalem. That's God's holy place. That's called the holy city, the holy country, holy ground. Moses, take off your shoes, for wherein you stand is holy ground. And when they gather in against Jerusalem, the holy place, that is an abomination in the sight of God as to them being there and what they're going to do, because they're going to rifle the city and they're going to ravish the women and they're going to drive out half of them out of the city. It's going to be a massacre. It's going to be an abomination in the sight of God, and it's going to be that that maketh desolate in more than one way. Because it's going to make Jerusalem desolate as to Jewish control, as to Jewish rule, as to God being there among them as in their state of ignorance, that he might preserve them, and that he's not requiring of them what he's requiring of the Gentiles, because they're blinded in part. And it will be an abomination, because at that particular time, the Lord Jesus himself will descend from heaven and set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said, in that day he shall fight in the battle. That is, he's going to make it desolate, because the Bible says that he's going to make the blood run to the horse's bridle. And all of the nations of the world, he's going to fight them until they surrender. He's going to make the blood run until they all surrender unto him and acknowledge that he is Lord of lords and that he is King of kings. And they're going to set him upon the throne and bring in the millennium. It's going to be that way. Daniel's last week and the latter part of it, Revelation 19, he's coming back. And if you'll read here in Zechariah, it said, and the Lord will come, and the Lord will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and the saints shall come with him. And the saints shall come with him, for they shall come with him, and they shall follow him, and he shall fight for Jerusalem. And then when the battle is over, once the battle is finished, and God sets up the millennium, he will set things in order as to him and his worship. And everyone that's left, that's come through that tribulation period, that's survived the battle, that's surrendered, heathens or whatever, will be under his dominion and under his leadership as king. And they will be there as to subject themselves to the Jewish people, because the Jewish nation will be the head of the people. The Lord told him in 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, when he gave him the law, he said, and if you honor me, I will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall lend to many nations. But they did not honor God. So they become the tail, and America become the head, and America has lent to many nations. And Jerusalem become the tail, as we say. That is, it was just cast aside. But when Jerusalem comes back and acknowledges God and receives God, then the Lord will accept them. And they'll say, where did you get the nails? He said, in the house of my friends. And when they mourn and when they repent and when they come back, then God will make them the head of the nations. And all of these people that are left, as to the Egyptians, as to every other nation, whatever it might be, will be subject to the great country of Jerusalem and the King, the Lord Jesus, the nation of Jerusalem. They'll be the head of the nations. And God will subject all of them people to the Jews, because that the nations has afflicted, tormented, killed out, and mistreated the Jews. So God is going to put the Jews at the head of the nation and make every nation take a bow to them. And they're going to be the head, and they're going to judge the nations. God will judge the people individually. God does judge individually. Judgment begins at the house of God. The minister is there to pluck up and to plant. It's not him speaking, but God. According to your faith in his words, this is whether you're saved or not, as to the fact that he can remit sin or he can retain sin. And he is God's revenger. There to execute judgment upon them that do evil. So the Jews will judge the nations, as to the sheep nations, as to the goat nations, to bring in the next great move of God, which will be the celestial, which will be that great celestial city after the 1,000 years regime on this present earth, as to an establishment or restoration here. And then after that, it'll be a different thing altogether. But according to the Bible, that those that will not honor the Lord Jesus, those that will not listen to what he has to say, the Bible said there'll be no rain on their crops. There won't be any rain on their crops. God is going to bring this to pass. He is bringing it to pass. And there shall be no rain on their crops. And the plague that shall strike them, the Bible said, as in the battle, the eyes shall consume away in the socket, and the flesh shall consume away from off of their bones. Even the animals, it shall be the same with them. So then we see a great, mighty thing about to take place. We're right on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I said just before the coming of the Lord Jesus that Russia would begin to court Israel and try to find the favoritism of Israel. And then that's when God will start moving against Gog and Magog. For the Bible said in that day, there shall be a thought that shall come into the heart of Gog and Magog. And they will say, let us go up to Israel, the city with unfenced walls. That is, that hath no real protection military-wise. And let us take for ourselves a spoil. That is to say that they're discovering the minerals in the Dead Sea to be more wealth than all of the wealth of the world put together. All the wealth of Israel is so great, and as to a tourist land. See, and sure enough, that's what Gorbachev was doing just prior to this earthquake, and the thoughts were coming into their heart. Getting ready. Let's go up to take for ourselves a spoil. And I remind you again, the way it was coming about was Gorbachev was going to different countries and unionizing, even here in the United States. This is what really displeased God, in a deceitful sort of a way, so that he could get all of the nations of the world together as one army. Even Gorbachev doesn't realize the shrewdness of Satan to get it all together as one army, that this one army may go up against Jerusalem, which will be Gog and Magog, as one unit, because it is stemmed out of that northern army. The Bible speaks of the king of the north coming. And with this, getting them all together so one command can take them in against Jerusalem. And that, of course, bringing the end of the world. So the Lord is beginning to stretch out his hand against Gog and Magog. He saw those earthquakes. And this makes us to know that if that is that close by as to a unionizing of forces, then the end of the world is here. And a lot that we could say tonight, it could go on for hours and hours speaking of the revelation of the Son of God as to what's happening right now. And I mean right here in the immediate area and across the world. But I said those things to say this, that the end of the world is here. Everything is set for the move of Gog and Magog. The tidings out of the east will come. It will trouble him. And this is what will cause the problems when he thinks he's ruling the world and got everybody unionized. He'll find out that the Jews still, though they'll come into a union, they'll still talk about their religious way of life. That means that the end of the world is close at hand, and the end of the days of the Gentiles is right at hand. People that are not right with God need to get right with God. America is corrupt. She is rotten to the core. She is gone. There's nothing that can help her. Her news medias are gone. Her leaders are gone. Statesmen, whatever. The entertainers of the world has become corrupt. People have become corrupt in general. The home is corrupt. It is unbelievable as to the corruption of the home with mother, with daddy, with sister, with brother, and the filth that's going on in the homes. The whole thing is sick and corrupt. The Bible said from the head on down. That means that the end of the world is here. And since it's here, there's nothing left for you and I except to turn to God with all of our heart, with all of our life. You can still go after the world if you want to. That's your business. But nevertheless, it's the end of the world. This is the end of the world. And we could prove that by the Bible just over and over by saying different things, but it is the end of the world. It is the end of the world to the extent that people have lost their vision for God, their interest in God. They're not concerned about God. They talk about God. They're more religious than they've ever been in all of their life, and they're less active in the things of God and less devoted than they've ever been in their life, just religiously speaking. So that's where we're at today. And these few little things tonight have just come across my heart that I'd bring them out since we were already running late, taking up a lot of time, and decided that we just mention these few little things to you. Everything is set for the last great drama of life, to bring the Lord Jesus on the scene. The most spectacular thing that eyes have ever been held. And they're going to behold that thing, because the Bible said even they that pierced him shall narrowly behold him. And they're on the verge of beholding, as we would say in a play, the main player, the great superstar, the great wonderful Christ, the all in all. And the Bible said, and in that day he alone shall be exalted. No one else will be noticed. He will be so great and so mighty in his approach and in his coming that no one else will be noticed at all. All right, let's stand together. It's good to be here tonight. I'm glad that Brother Taylor was willing to try to come up, knowing that he felt as bad as he did. He still made a special effort to come up and do something for us in the office and then come down here. And also, I'm glad that Joseph tried to come out. Joe's been real sick, but he's still trying to stir around a little. Stevie was courageous enough to try to get our letterheads ready. He went down and tried to print some. He certainly didn't feel like it in his body, but he went and tried anyway. This is what it takes. That's what you call faith. Faith is active. And when you make a step toward God to try to do something for God, then the Lord does something for you. When you make a step to do something for God when you're sick, God heals your body, because that's an act of faith. And that way you put the sickness behind you. But if you give in to it, then that means it'll swallow you up. It will literally swallow you up. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Okay, let's sing together. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth alone, just to be like him, all through life's journey. From earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth I long to be.
grace forgiven, akin to heaven, on earth I long, just to be like him. Can you sing it again? Just to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. By grace forgiven and akin to I only ask just to be like him, to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus on earth alone, just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. I don't no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. The altars are open. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. Sing it with me, folks. So I don't want no gold or silver. Your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Put to me. Sing it again. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. Can you sing it one more time? So we don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want no diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus far to me. He's everything. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy Oh, so happy in my soul. Will that tomorrow be tomorrow? I'll just serve the living God that has been told. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oops. Can you sing that with me? Will that tomorrow be tomorrow? Will to serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. One more time. I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's give him a hand, can you? Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows fall in thunny. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows fall. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I would hear my mama call at set of sun. Sing it with me now. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, supper time. We're going home at last.
You love the Lord. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail in his hand. Jesus is the only one that cares. When it comes right down to it, you may feel that many people care, and of course you may have devotion toward many people. You may have love and respect for many people, your mother, your wife, your children, your father, maybe someone that's been kind to you, parents or grandparents. But really, when it comes right down to it, there's only one that cares, and that's Jesus. The Bible said a mother will forsake her little suckling, her little babe. But Jesus said, I'll never forsake you. And he said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. but I may never forget you. And of course, when he comes to the Jews, they're going to say, where did you get the nail prints? So these wounds came from the house of my friends. I got these in the house of my friends. Isn't that something to think that I'm a friend to Jesus? I'm a friend to Jesus. I love Jesus. The Bible said that Abraham was a friend to God. And I love the Lord. I love the Lord, but I'm responsible for him having the nails. It was my sins that took him to Calvary. It was my sins that put the nails in his hands. He got them in the house of his friends. I'm his friend. I love him. And the Jews are going to be his friends. But nevertheless, they gave him the nails. They nailed him to Calvary. But he said, these will always be there. Somebody wrote a song one time and said, there won't be nothing left of earth, nothing in heaven, nothing at all, except the nail prints. So they'll still be there. The nail prints. My, when you think of that, it just breaks you all up. That tears you up. To think that when we look at them, they'll probably look like rubies. Beautiful, beautiful situation. So we're here to worship the Lord, to love the Lord, just to tell him how much we care for him, to sing songs to him, to praise his lovely name. Over and over, we sing these songs of praise. Let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. I want to praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. Love. I want to love him. Love him when the sun goes down. For sometimes I feel heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise him at noon. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him when the sun goes. So let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at him. I want to love him. Love him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him. Wanna praise. Praise him when the sun goes down. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, we're on the other side of Jordan. My people must be led. Longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt, bondage flee. When you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, we're on the other side of Jordan. People must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt, bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall sing it with me.
cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. Wander in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You cross over to the other side of Jordan. That's what the Lord is wanting. You love the Lord. He was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Can you sing it? The Savior was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. Can you sing it one more time? And he was here all the time, all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was sing it with me now. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Can you sing that with me tonight? Far across the bridge, bearing no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and will never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, we have lived a life of sin, done forbidden things we shouldn't do. But now the Savior leads the way to a land of brighter day, where there's real happiness and love, it's true. Across the bridge there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be. Can you sing that with me? Far across the bridge there ain't no more sorrow, and across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun will shine across and will never be unhappy. Sing it one more time. And across that bridge ain't no more sorrow. And across that bridge there ain't. The sun will shine across the river, and will never be. Can you sing it one more time? For in this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin, done forbidden things I shouldn't do. Now the Savior leads the way to a land of brighter day, where there's real happiness and love. Far across the bridge there's no more sorrow, and across the bridge there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never see one more time. Far across the bridge there's no sorrow, and across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Can we give him another hand? I don't know of anybody that deserves any more praise than the Lord Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. Can we stand, just sing one or two more songs, and then we'll go. We sing this song quite a lot. When we stand and look over into the city, you know, that's what we do.
from where we're standing, I feel like I can see over into the city, see the beautiful things of God. You love the Lord? When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so high. Over into the city that my Lord said he's prepared, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing it with me? For after all, life is old and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so high, looking over into the city that my Lord is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing it again. For after all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so old, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death's trial, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Sing that one. For he's gone and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my side. Oh, he's gone over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Sing it with me now. Oh, he's gone. I saw the stone all roll back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Gone, and he lives forever. Let's sing that again. Susie's concerned about Cynthia, George Jr., and the family tonight. They've gone out into Tucson, Arizona, because I feel that's God, because we've Been intending to go out to Tucson for quite a long time now. It's been a long time since we preached in Tucson, the way everything is moving. Spiritually, it seems to have to do with that. And not too long ago, Lamar and Opal went out into Tucson and invited us out. They're still there, as far as I know, and they're pressing on us to come out there. But she feels like she should stand tonight for them. And let's just pray. And well, let's sing that song again together. I remember the little girl that was in the well, and when the Lord showed me that He had recovered her, I come and told you. We prayed, and while we prayed, as we prayed, all of a sudden, I said, "The Lord done it." I came up, told you that. We stopped prayer. We started singing the song. The stone is rolled back. Singed it. In a few minutes, we dismissed, went home, and the telephone call come. And Cynthia said, watching the TV, they had gotten her out. Remember that? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. I know people were praying all around the world, but I'm glad I had a part in it. I'm glad I had a part in it. She's still living today. I said, God, for one time, bring forth the little girl out of the well. I said, everyone I know of that's fell down there always died. I said, but for God's sake, bring one forth. Let this little girl come forth as a testimony before the world that you have your way in all things and that you hear prayer and that you have delivered her. Hallelujah. And He done it. Hallelujah. I'm glad I had a part in it. Let's lift our hands up and pray together, and then we'll sing this song again. Precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for these people of Little Bethlehem. And dear God, we remember the vision that Brother Grady was telling us today, where the Lord spoke to him, and in the vision did not call it Little Bethlehem, but said, Bethlehem the Beautiful. Beautiful Bethlehem, he said. Beautiful Bethlehem on the hill. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and the house of God shall be established in the hill of God, and all nations shall flow into it, for in that day it shall be beautiful. Hallelujah. And God, how beautiful. How beautiful are the saints of God that worship Thee, that have clean hearts and clean lives. Father, that follows Thee, their delight is in Thee. In Your laws they meditate day and night. I ask You to reach out in Tucson, Arizona, and touch George Jr. Father, touch him, touch his wife, touch the children. Dear God, do something there. Do something in Cynthia's life. God, in Dale's life. Father, in all of the children's life. As Susie stands here, do something in their life. Do something in my life, in my wife's life. Lord, in the life of my spiritual children here. And God, and around the world. Let the gospel go, Father. That all may feel this wonderful blessings of God. For I know, Heavenly Father, it's going around the world. Because I've already seen the vision of it, Father. And I saw it go around the world. And Father, I know it's going around the world. And I thank You for that blessing. Bless these that are here with us. Bless those, God, not only my children tonight, but the children of these people and the loved ones of these people tonight. Bless them and save them and heal them and deliver them. Oh, God, I ask of You to do this because I know, Lord, from my heart, You're concerned. And I know that You will answer prayer. Let's sing it again, can we? So it's gone, and the stone is rolled back gone, and the tomb is empty gone, to sit at my Father's side. For it's gone, over death, trial, gone, sinners defeated, gone, and He lives forevermore. Sing it. I know He's gone. I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And He lives forever. one more time. I know he's gone, and the stone it's rolled back gone, and the tomb it's empty gone, to sit at my father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant gone, sin is defeated gone, and he lives forever. Oh, he's gone. Can you give him a wave offering? Gone, and the tomb empty gone, sit at my father's side. Oh, he's gone, gone, sin is defeated gone, and he lives forevermore. One more time. I know he's gone, and the stone is rolled back gone, and the tomb it's empty gone, to sit at my father's side. Oh, he's gone, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, for the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more, for time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing that with me? Let's lift our hands and close our eyes. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Close your eyes and lift your hands up with me. While we're standing here tonight, remember, time is to be no more, no more, no more. Since Calvary, no more. And ye are eternal creatures. And how beautiful it is to have entered into eternity, to where you'll never die now. It's all over, the worries of dying, the fears of dying, the frustration, the nightmares, the anxieties of dying. We've passed that now. And we're on the other side. Like the vision I saw where the fire and the brimstone came down and God gave us shelter. And it didn't hurt us. And then everything was burned in all the earth and turned into ashes. And then we stepped forth on a beautiful, beautiful earth in beautiful white garments. Beautiful white garments. We stepped forth and I screamed out and said, it's over. It's over. You made it. Hallelujah. You made it. I said, you don't ever have to worry about dying no more. I said, you made it. And now all you have to do is do whatever you want to throughout eternity. Somebody say hallelujah if you believe you made it. By His grace, I made it. I am what I am by the grace of God. And by His grace, I made it beyond the barriers of time. I made it over the time of this world. Beyond the barriers of time, I made it. Beyond that, I'm beyond that. I've moved out beyond the time elements. I've gone beyond that. And today, I'm standing with Jesus. Standing throughout eternity to never die. To never, never die. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. I passed over to where I'll never die. Never no more. Never no more. Never no more. You love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? I feel like we just ought to sing one more song anyway. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing because I'm happy. Makes me sing because I'm happy. Makes me sing because I'm happy. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. It has taken us all to heaven. It has taken us all to heaven. It has taken us all to heaven. That's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough. It was good for my mama and my daddy. It was good for my mama and my daddy. It was good for mom and daddy. And it's good enough. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. I've got that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion, got that old time religion. Good enough for me. I've got that old time religion, got that old time religion, got old time religion, and better get that old time religion, better get that old time religion, better get the old time religion. Only thing that can save me, got that old time religion. I've got that old time religion. I got that old time religion, and it's goody. One more time. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion, old time religion, and it's good. I've got that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, and it's one more time. So give me that old time religion. Old time religion, old time religion, cause it's good enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Got the old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good. Don't you feel good? Having this wonderful, wonderful blessing of the Lord. And they said, let us go on talking about this good old way. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up together, close our eyes tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Nix if he'll come up. Brother Nix has been here with us for a number of days now. And I'm going to ask him to come up and dismiss tonight, if he will. Brother Nix from out, really from Upson County, but he's just coming from California. He's about in Arizona and California, traveling around quite a bit and trying to do something for the Lord. He's here with us. He's become one of us. Really appreciate him tonight. As he prays tonight, search your heart, examine yourself, see if you've been in the faith. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, call on him while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. He's near now. Call on him. I can feel the joy of the Lord in the church. The yoke's broken. I can feel your faith and confidence. I feel like you're ready for revival now. I really do. I feel like that you're ready for revival now. I feel like you can take this gospel into all the world for witness. I really do. I feel that you can do it. I feel that you're ready to do it. And this, of course, thrills my heart because that's what we're called for. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah one more time? Praise God. Hallelujah.